We're told something that we should not be too surprised about, because when you go to your Bible, you know that there's a conflict between good and evil. That is not just a conflict of concepts, that is a conflict of persons. And it's important that we understand that in this conflict that is going on, that we are right in the middle of it here in 2022. And we have to understand that there's a conflict between God, and there's a conflict between God and Satan. Tonight, I want to just take the next 25 minutes or so to talk about choosing God over Satan. Choosing God over Satan. If you look at chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, Joshua says in verse 15, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And we have to understand, Joshua is about ready to die. And he has walked with Moses. He had been there when Moses came down from the mount. He had watched what God was able to do during the 10 plagues. He was there when God was delivering them through 40 years of wilderness wanderings. As a matter of fact, if you remember, he and another fella named Caleb was one of the two spies that went into the promised land, who came back and said, "Let's go and defeat the enemy." But the 10 spies that did not agree with him ended up dying in the wilderness because God had kept them from making progress. So Joshua had seen it all. He had watched one generation come and another generation go. And he is now wanting to make sure that the children of Israel understand the importance of their choices. Now, what we're going to see here in this passage of Scripture, that we see that Joshua gives a warning. You'll see that in chapter 23. And it's interesting because in chapter 23, verses 7, he says that ye come not among these nations. Okay, so understanding, Joshua had defeated these nations. Now, what were these nations? Why were they defeated? Does anybody know why? Why did God destroy these nations? They were very, very wicked. And yet, the children of Israel, they were amongst those nations and they became enamored with them. And we're told in verse 7, he says, "Now don't come among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods." Now you say, well, why would you not even be able to mention their gods? Because God doesn't want us thinking about those things. He says, "Nor cause to swear by them." They were making oaths in the name of those gods. "Neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But instead," verse 8, "cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven you out from among these great nations." And it's important that we understand that Joshua is giving a warning. And he gives us this warning all the way through the Scripture. The warning is to not follow the world. The warning is to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. He tells us in the Scripture that we ought to make it very, very clear to not only ourselves, but to those who are under our influence, that the world is very, very, very evil. I mean, it's not just some bad stuff out there. The world is filled with ungodliness. And so he warns them, and he, just kind of like your car alarm, you know, have you ever gone out and your alarm goes off? Maybe you accidentally hit a button or something and that thing goes off. What is that trying to warn you? He's saying that something could happen. Now, obviously, if you were in your house and that goes off, you wonder, okay, who's messing with my car? You know, and so it's an alarm. It's a warning. And Joshua says, I want to give this warning. Now, we have to understand what is going on here. And I mentioned about choosing God over Satan. I've been listening a lot to some of the things that's going on. There is a website called thegoodfight.org, and it talks about the fact of how people have given their souls to rock and roll. Now, have you ever studied that? People such as Anton LaVey, Aleister Crowley, these are people that were heroes to the Beatles. They were heroes to the Beach Boys. They were heroes to people like Lady Gaga. These are people that are under the influence of satanic influence. And it's a fascinating thing. This article I have, The Truth About Satanic Cults, and how that Anton LaVey was very much influenced, who influenced people regarding Charles Manson and the Manson killings. It is a fascinating truth that there is a real live devil. And you know, it was interesting. I was watching, reading one articles, the influence of MTV. Now, you know how we know that rock music is evil? Watch MTV. It is going to act out the evil that's involved in that music. Whether it be Madonna, or whether it be one of these artists over the years. In this article that I have says that that it would be hard for one to dispute the fact that MTV has influenced every pop culture trend since its birth in 1981. And as a matter of fact, they have a quote that says, we are not after the minds of your 14-year-olds. We have those minds. And they are influencing the mindset. Do you realize that there's this whole idea of a younger generation is a new phenomenon? That the world is not under the rule, as many would have us think, of young people. And so much satanic things are going on. Lucifer is back. Netflix keeps Lucifer alive after Fox cancellation. Disney, Maleficent, makes Satan the savior. Satan performs at the Super Bowl. And do you realize the kind of wickedness that's going on in our world? And our purpose tonight is not to get up here and read all these articles, but just to explain to you that there needs to be a warning.
And we need to recognize that the world is very, very wicked. And media is at the top of the list of this stuff. And we have to recognize the fact that we, as in the case of Joshua, that he gives a warning. And when you make that kind of warning, people say, "Ah, LaVey was just acting like a Satanist." No, he was a true Satanist. And these people that followed him, they are involved in witchcraft. He said, not everybody is. No, I'm not saying everybody is. But the fact is that Satan is alive and is wanting to destroy you. Trying to destroy your Christianity. And so we see all of the attitudes towards homosexuality. What has happened in the last 25 years? You know, a person that is 25 and younger may not realize, well, this is a new trend. And the wickedness that takes place in the whole media, we have to understand that God wants us to warn people about this. Number two, we see not only that Joshua gives a warning, he gives a reminder. And it's fascinating because what we find is that in chapter 24, it tells us how he basically gathers, verse 1, all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all of the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham." So if you've been studying the book of Genesis, you'll see that obviously there was this worship of different gods, and God called Abraham out of that. And it says in verse 3, "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout the land of Canaan." And it says in verse 5, "I sent Moses." So what does Moses represent? What did God give Moses? What did he give Moses? The commandments. You know, you look at those 10 commandments and you'll see that they are contrary to the commandments of the world. So the world says sex. The world says drugs. The world says profanity. The world says ungodliness. And God says, "No, thou shalt have no other gods before me." And so he gets Moses in verse 6, "And I brought your fathers out of Egypt." Now, do we understand that Egypt is a picture of the world? And the scripture tells us that God saved Israel out of the world. The reason I came to Christ is because the world had a hook in me. And yet, when I came to Christ, God delivered me from the world. And he says, "I want you to remember these things. And how that I," verse 8, "brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side of Jordan." And in verse 12, "And I sent the hornets before you and drave them out from before you." You know, the Bible tells us that the Christian should be reminded from whence they came. And unfortunately, live in a day where not only do you have the ungodliness of the wickedness of the society, but you've got Christians who talk the language, live the walk, act the same way, and they call themselves people who love the Lord. And the Bible tells us that we need to be reminded that these ungodly trends, this ungodly language, this ungodly lifestyle, this ungodly walk that people have is not to be followed by the believer. So as a result, we need to be reminded. So how do we remind ourselves? Well, we remind ourselves by getting into the Bible and reading the Bible, knowing the Bible, listening to the Bible, following what the Bible says. See, we need to know God's Word. And yet, you know what Satan does? Satan tries to keep you from reading your Bible. He's already done it with some of you. He's trying to keep you from getting into the Word of God. I was talking to my sister, and I said to my sister, Sandy, I said, now how's it going on your Bible reading? She said, oh, I listen to different things, but I don't really get into my Bible very much. And I said, well, the Bible promises a special blessing if you'll get into your Bible. And we need to be reminded what God can do. And so we get into the Bible and we find out that, I was just reading this week where Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And Joseph fled from that. And we need to be reminded that you can live for God in this sexually charged age. And the Bible tells us that we need to be reminded. So, Joshua gives a warning. Joshua gives a reminder. But thirdly, he challenges for a commitment. And I want to talk about commitment in the next few weeks. Because we're going to have to make some choices, folks. We're either going to choose to follow pop culture and Satan and the ungodliness of the day, or we're going to choose God. And this is why he tells us in verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. And if you're going to serve the gods on the other side of the floods, or serve the gods of Lantan Nevey, or Oliver Crowley, or you're going to serve the rock artists, and we could talk about Sting, and we could talk about Black Sabbath, and all of these older groups that sold their souls to the devil. And they have influenced our society today. What's funny? I listened to them. I knew them. And these people have influenced a whole generation of people. Thank you for pointing that out. Well, there's things I wish I hadn't had to listen to. But the point is that we could talk about all of these artists and we could talk about this media. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. Snoop Dogg is going to be in the Super Bowl. Did you know that? Kansas City is going to be in the Super Bowl. But that's another story. Now, the point I'm making is this. We are in a society which God says, you better make some choices. Because if you don't make the choice that you need to make, you're going to find yourself influenced in the wrong way. So what does he do? He said, now I want you to make a choice. He said, now I know what my choice is. He says in verse 15, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What do you allow in your house? What do you allow with the people that reside in your house? Joshua says, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make some choices. And he says in verse 17, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, In verse 18, "And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. And Joshua said unto the people, You cannot serve the Lord." What? I was reading that. What do you mean you can't serve the Lord? "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord." Now, what is he saying? He's saying you can't serve God and Satan at the same time. You know, and if you allow your mind to be influenced by these things, it is going to destroy you. It will keep you from going forward for the Lord. Verse 20, "If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that ye have done you good." So what did the people decide to do? Look at verse 21. They said, "No, we choose God." "And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord. And they said, We are witnesses." Okay, not only are we going to make that commitment, he says, we're going to let others around us know we are making that commitment. But Joshua says, wait a minute, make a covenant. And it tells us in verse 25, Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone set up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said in verse 27, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God." So he's saying here in essence, okay, it's time to make a choice. And the fact is, God's people need to, in this day of ungodliness, need to make a choice. We call that commitment. And I was telling you about the goodfight.org and how the goodfight.org has a series of videos on they gave their souls to the devil. And you realize that there are people, and we could go through, and then Amanda would be impressed that I know all these people. But these people have, some of them basically said, if it means becoming famous, if it means becoming well-liked and well-loved, well-popular, they said, we're going to give our souls to the devil. Now, the fact is, you can make these kind of commitments. Some people say, well, no, I just like the music too much. I would never change that. Well, then you have made a choice. And the Bible tells us that we need to make some choices. Kind of like marriage. When I said yes to my wife, I said no to all the other women. And when I committed to her, I said, okay, you are my one and only. Kind of like making a commitment like that, where you say, I love you alone. And anything that stands in the way of you, Lord, I'm going to put it out of my life. So, you know, there's this commitment. Have you ever, we were just talking, somebody was just talking to Alex about this, your junior year? Okay, you committed to some classes, didn't you? So they come to you and they say, okay, you got to do this work. Well, that commitment level, depending on how strong your commitment level is to how you're going to follow through with that class. So it's important that we understand that God says you need to make a commitment. You may not understand everything that I've even talked about tonight. And you may not even know the depths of the evil of that. But you need to be aware that you need to take and make a commitment to the Lord. And choose this day whom you will serve. Now you can make a choice and say, okay, I'm not going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be a half-hearted Christian. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. The Bible tells us that we need to commit. It's not a time, it is not a time to straddle the fence. This is not a time to be kind of wishy-washy. The devil plays for keeps, and he will destroy you if you let him. Now, thankfully, the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But don't take that as a license to surrender to the devil. And if you're going to be successful in your life, it's imperative that you commit yourself to God. And there are going to be people who are influenced by your decisions. And if you are not careful, you are going to be hindered in your Christian life. So my challenge tonight is just simply this. Choose God over Satan. Choose God over the world. Choose God over sensuality. Choose God over materialism. Choose God over anything. And to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Isn't that the greatest commandment? He wants first place. And by God's grace, we can serve the Lord. And it's my goal that we do not have a church of a bunch of half-hearted, wishy-washy worldlings. And it's my goal that in the next few weeks, we're going to develop this a little bit because we're going to say, okay, what kind of commitment level are you willing to make? And may God help us to choose this day to serve the Lord. Our Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We ask that you would protect us from the evil. And Lord, I do sense that you have folks here who truly want to do right. Give them strength. Give them understanding. Help them to be reminded. Help them to heed the warning and be reminded of what your word says. And may by your grace, they commit to serve you. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming this evening.